Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series entitled Choose Joy. Today we're going to talk about this subject of conquering complaining. Conquering complaining. There's no way in the world you can choose joy and complain at the same time. They are totally the opposite of one another. And so if we're going to learn how to choose joy, we must learn how to conquer complaining, and that is going to be our topic for today. The theme of this book is to choose joy, and so we shouldn't be surprised that Paul would raise this issue and deal with it because it's so relevant to a choose joy lifestyle. Now, right now, I'd like for you to open up your program and pull out our study guide for today, and I'd like for you to open up your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And today we're going to be finishing up chapter number 2. And so we're looking forward to today's message as we look at Philippians 2, 12 through 13. You do want to use that study guide that's provided for you because honestly, I'm constantly looking at it, referring to it, and you'll get a whole lot more out of the message if you're looking at where I'm looking and following along because I'm going to ask you to write some things down, to underline some things, to really help you get this message. So have that right near you. Well, I am excited about our series, and our series is based on a theme verse in Philippians, and it's 4:4. Philippians 4:4, right on the front of our study guide, where the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I will say, rejoice. God tells us that we're to rejoice. Twice in that passage. And to rejoice means to be glad. And we're to be glad in the Lord, okay? Not in our circumstance. That might not be so wonderful, but we can always rejoice in the Lord. We're to rejoice in Him being King, our leader, our CEO, the one that oversees our lives. And we're to do it enthusiastically. We're to rejoice, it says, with an exclamation mark. So it's emphasizing the importance of not just saying rejoice, you know, that's not enough. You know, it's rejoice. There's to be some enthusiasm about your life in this area. Now, we are defining joy this way. Joy is an outward reflection of gladness because of an inward connection with God. We have it up on the screen. Let's say it out loud together. Here we go. Joy is an outward reflection of gladness because of an inward connection with God. Now notice the contrast, three different contrasts. You got outward and you got inward. Outward and inward. Then you got, listen, you got reflection and you got connection. And then the most important part of all is you got gladness and God. Gladness and God. And again, that's based on Philippians 4:4. That's exactly what that verse tells us in defining joy. Now, this series is based on the book of Philippians, my favorite book because, number one, it's a personal book. Tells us a lot about the Apostle Paul. It's a practical book. It deals with relevant issues. It is a positive book. It tells how to choose joy. The word joy in some form appears 19 times in this book, and Paul wrote this book from a prison cell. So don't forget those three things as we're going through this book. Today we're going to be crossing over to the halfway point in the book. We're not quite halfway through of the messages, but as far as the book goes, we're now going to finish chapter 2. So there's four chapters. So we're going to complete chapter 2 today. Well, we are looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 30. And right now, we're going to be having this passage read to us through a wonderful resource called the Word of Promise. And so I want you to either follow along with your Bible or look up here on the screen. But either way, focus your attention on God's Word, both with the ear and with the eyes. Okay, that's what the good thing about Word of Promise in this context is get your ear focused and get your eyes focused and try to maximize this passage.
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me.
With that passage in mind, let's go to page 2 of our notes, and let's talk about how to conquer complaining. How can we choose joy consistently and overcome complaining in our lives? This passage lays it out very, very good. And you're going to get a lot out of this message as we talk about this subject. The first thing we got to do is follow the example of Christ. Follow the example of Christ. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, at the beginning of that passage, it says this. Listen closely as I read it. Therefore, my beloved. Therefore, my beloved. Now, when you see the word therefore in the Bible, you always need to ask the question, what's it there for? It's an important word in the Bible. And what it is, it's a word that's referring back to what's just been said, and really, in a sense, it's reinforcing what's been said. In other words, it's referring back to what's been said, and at the same time, it's actually reinforcing what has just been said. So this is important. And what has been said is this, Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to describe the humility of Christ and how that Christ was willing to leave heaven, was willing to come to earth to suffer for our sin. That's the theme of that passage. Now, as I shared with you last week, we have not done proper emphasis on that passage. It's way too important to gloss over it the way we've done in this series. And so what we're going to do is we're going to add a bonus message to this series. Bonus message. Now there's more, okay? And we're going to do that the Sunday before Christmas, because honestly, you can't find a better Christmas passage than Philippians 2, 5 through 11, where Christ came and left heaven, came to earth, emptied himself. What does it mean he emptied himself? Incarnation, God in the flesh. And so we're going to really dig deep on that one on that Sunday. And I hope you can make it if you're in town. If you're out of town, I hope you'll listen online later on to that message. But in verse 12, it says, therefore, my beloved. In other words, because of the example of Christ, we're to follow the example of Christ. We're to have the mind of Christ. Now, what was his mind like? Well, the Bible tells us that. In 1 Peter 2:21, it tells us that Christ suffered, Listen, Christ suffered for us, underline this, leaving us an example. Christ suffered, listen, for us, leaving us an example. Listen, that you should follow his steps. Christ suffered, Christ left an example, and we are to follow in his steps. So what were his steps like? Well, there are many passages we could look at to answer that question, but I want to highlight Isaiah 53. Now, Isaiah 53 is a very important passage because it's what we call a messianic passage. What that means is there are certain Old Testament passages that describe for us the New Testament reality of the Messiah who would come. And so you got to look at this from the sense that this is a prophetic word that's given here in Isaiah 53. It's talking about what the Messiah would do. And it describes what Jesus would do. And now for us New Testament believers, it's what Jesus has done. Jesus not only was going to do it, he did it. Amen? That'd be a good place to have an amen. Amen. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Praise God. Wonderful. I love you too. Okay, Isaiah 53. Here's what he was like. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he was born, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Now, how did he respond? It tells us twice, not once, twice how he responded. Did he complain? No. What's the answer? No. In fact, the Bible says twice he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. In fact, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. Again, underline it, so he opened not his mouth. Wow. Talking about following in his steps? That is a powerful, powerful command that's been given to us to follow in his steps. He gave us a model when it comes to suffering. And the Bible says in the midst of his pain, the darkest times, Jesus Christ, twice it says, didn't open his mouth, didn't complain about what he was going through. Now, how was he able to do that? Well, Hebrews 12:2 gives us some insight. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, underline this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Underline that. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How was he able to do that? How can you do that? How can you not open your mouth when you're suffering? Well, you got to see things from an eternal perspective. See, Jesus Christ, listen, he saw the joy that was set before him. And because of that, he was able to endure the cross. In other words, he didn't focus on the temporary, he focused on the eternal. What is the temporary going to be like, folks? John 16:3. If you don't know it, you need to know it. It says, in this world you shall have what? Tribulation. That is a promise given by God. In this world, you are going to have tribulation. Do you have any tribulation in your life today? I tell you, if you don't, you're going to have a horrible day tomorrow. Just get ready for it, okay? Because the Bible says you're only going to have a few days on this earth without trouble. Do you understand that? So if you happen to hit one of those days, enjoy it, okay? And I'm telling you, just get plenty of sleep tonight because you're going to need it tomorrow, okay? You're only going to have a few days on this earth without lots of trouble in your life. That's the reality. Because we need the hard times to bring us to our knees. We need the hard times to bring us to our knees. We need to be broken. We need to be brought to a point of total commitment and total dependence upon Jesus Christ. And we've got to look to the future, the joy that is set before us. See, the Bible tells us in this world we'll have tribulation, but Revelation 21:4 tells us about where we're headed. And for the believer, that place is called heaven, and the Bible tells us that that is a place where there's no more pain. Revelation 21:4. No more pain. This thing we're dealing with now is short term. Short term. It's only going to last for a while. It's going to go by real, real fast. And then one day, for eternity, forever, we're going to be a place where there's no pain. No pain. And Jesus was able to endure the cross because he saw the joy that was set before him. Praise God for the hope we have in that joy. Follow the example of Christ. He opened not his mouth. He did not complain. Number two, live out your salvation. Live out your salvation. Now, verse 12 here, part B, is the most controversial verse in all of Philippians because of what it says and what some people interpret it to mean. So what is the truth about it? Well, let's look at it. Philippians 2, verse 12, part B. It goes on to say, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what's the passage that is debated? What is the passage that's often misunderstood? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, some people interpret that verse that you work for your salvation, okay? That you work for your salvation. In other words, the way to get to heaven is by doing good works. Now, we know that's not true. Number one, we know it from this passage because the passage doesn't say work for your salvation, does it? Does the passage say work for your salvation? It says work it out. Okay? It doesn't say work for it. It says work it out. Big difference, right? Work it out means to live it out. To live it out. To let it be revealed in your life. But we also know from other passages, including the one we're going to read in a second, that we cannot work for our salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 is one of those passages. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves, folks. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. I mean, folks, when we get to heaven, and if God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? There's only one acceptable answer, and it's not baptism. It's not tithing. It's not taking out the trash. It's not loving your neighbor. It's not any of that stuff, okay? It's not obeying the Ten Commandments, which you've never done, by the way, okay? There's only one acceptable answer. It is Jesus. 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 There won't be any boasting in your good works. There'll be no boasting, zero boasting, the Bible says. We're saved by grace. We don't deserve salvation. It's a gift of God. We receive it by faith, by putting our trust in Jesus, and Jesus alone to get us to heaven. And then verse 10 is so important because it balances out. You say, well, what about works? Works must not be important. Wrong. Works are very important. Ephesians 2:10, that's a really important verse. In fact, one of our church family, Joanne Huggins, who helps me lead losing to live, she actually has this verse as her license plate, Ephesians 2:10, okay? Now, I'm all for verses and bumpers, things. Just make sure you drive correctly, okay? All right? You don't see any of that stuff on my car, okay? You know, and Pastor Gary, thank God he didn't have it on his car. But anyway, I mean, you know, so that's cool. If you want to get Ephesians 2:10 on your license plate, that's great, okay? But just make sure you back it up there with your road rage and everything else, okay? That was a free mini sermon I just gave you, okay? But Joanne's right on making this verse important in her life. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." See, works are important. Works are really, really important because the Bible teaches us the fact that we are to work for God. But we don't work for God to be saved. We work for God because we are saved, okay? We don't work to receive salvation. We work to reveal salvation. And that's why the Bible clearly says here that we are to work it out, okay? To work it out. In other words, we are to live it in our lives. Kind of like working like a math equation. You work it all the way out. You know, it's kind of like you work out when you physically work out. You work it out. Okay, you work it out. It means to come to completion. To come to completion. To be everything God wants you to be. And it's important because it's what's called sanctification. Sanctification is the process of growing in Christ and being committed to Christ and living a holy life before God Almighty. And our salvation, listen, it's clear. The Bible says if you're saved, it's going to show up in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any of us," listen, "if anyone be in Christ," if you're in Christ, here's what's going to happen. "Old things are going to pass away." And then this is, "Behold." I like that word, "behold." And really, I never noticed it, but my friend, Wynn Freeman, emphasized that verse. Wynn's a great guy. He's spoken here. And Wynn looked me up from the media or Facebook. I can't remember where it was. But the media calls me the anti-fat pastor. And they call him the anti-drug guy. And so one day, kind of, he said, "Listen, I'm the anti-drug guy. I figure I need to meet the anti-fat pastor, okay?" And we've become good friends. He has a wonderful ministry helping people with addiction and things like that in South Carolina. And Wynn likes that word, "behold." Behold. You can behold it. When you're in Christ, it's going to show up. You're going to work it out. It's going to bubble out. And if you don't have anything to behold that's different about your life since you said the prayer or whatever, okay, and there's nothing to behold that's new in your life, listen, friend, you're lost. You don't know Jesus because you're not going to be in Christ without Jesus changing you. He's going to change your life. You're not going to be perfect, but I'm telling you, he's going to change your life. And the Bible says in James 2:17, listen, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead." If your faith doesn't have any works, it's dead. So don't be confused by this verse. This is a great verse. And it's part of not complaining. It's part of not complaining. It's living out your salvation. It's living out your salvation. Number three, accept God's plan for your life. Accept God's plan for your life. Verse 13 tells us this. It says, listen, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do," listen, "for his good pleasure." Here's the bottom line, and I hate to say this because it's very convicting to me. So I'd rather not say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Every time Steve Reynolds complains, he's complaining about his God. Every time Steve Reynolds complains, he's ultimately complaining about his God. Every time I complain about a circumstance, situation in my life, it's an assault against God. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, the Bible says, It is God who works in you. Now, remember, don't ever forget this, that you'll miss the power of the book of Philippians if you don't remember the guy is in prison, okay? Got it? He's 24 arrests, 24-7 arrests, right? Remember, chained to a Roman guard. And he's saying this. It's God that's working in me. It's God who is seeking to accomplish his will and to do of his good pleasure. So we have to accept God's plan for our life. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For you. Jude 16 says, these are grumblers and complainers. And here's how it describes us when we do that. Walking according to their own lust. We don't like what God's doing. So we start grumbling about it. We start complaining about it. And what are we doing? We're walking according to our own lusts, our own desires. We don't like, you know, what's going on in our life. We don't like the situation we're facing. We start complaining about it. You got to accept God's plan for your life. Right now, Christian Lilo is going to come, and we're going to talk about his Choose Joy testimony that relates so well to this message and to this point. Let's welcome Christian as he comes, okay? So today, we're going to be talking about complaining, and we're going to put it in the context of a Christian's life. And I just thank God for this family. They've been a part of our church for a long, long time. And they've been such a wonderful, wonderful family and a beautiful, beautiful, committed, godly family in our church. And we're just so thankful for them and for their lives. And so Christian went through a situation the last year or so that really has impacted my life. And he went through and is still dealing with some pretty intense pain that came from an accident, a so-called accident that occurred to him. And so I've asked him to share about this day. In fact, when we were thinking about back in like July or whatever, when we were developing this series, and I said, you know, I want to try to have a testimony each week. I mean, Christian was like first one I mentioned, okay? I got to get Christian up there to talk, okay? And so this is a great opportunity to hear from him and what he's gone through. Now, he went through a lot of pain, and I'm telling you, what a rock-solid testimony. I mean, you know, sometimes when you go see somebody, you think you're going to help them or minister them. Honestly, I walked away every time ministered to by him. And he created, or somebody created this Facebook Iron Man, Christian Lilo Iron Man group. And I had the privilege of being part of that group. And, man, he would post stuff up there, and I knew what he was going through. I knew the pain he was going through. I'm thinking, man, what faith, what an encouragement. And particularly guys, I mean, ladies, there's a reason you have the babies, okay? There is a good reason, okay? Us guys, we don't do well with pain, okay? And so there's a reason you guys, you ladies, have the babies. So on top of the fact that Christian's a guy, that's another good reason to listen up. Okay, so Christian, tell us what kind of pain you experienced.
I was in, the background is, you know, I was in a motorcycle accident right here, you know, at the church, and I broke, you know, like not only my ulna, my radius, so I have an open fracture in my arm. As well, you know, I broke my pelvis and my acetabulum. So I was at Fairfax Hospital for 15 days. And to be able to fix me up, you know, there was a lot of things that they needed to do. One of them was detach, you know, like my leg to fix the pelvis and the acetabulum, and then, you know, let it, you know, reattach. In August, you know, 23rd, you know, God had an appointment with me that day. And that appointment was here at church. And sometimes, you know, like happen things in our life that we don't like, but God, you know, like want to do things that may cause pain, but he have a purpose, and he did have a purpose that day. You know, it's like he broke me so he could build me up. I did go through a lot of pain. One of them, you know, was like they were controlling medication with pain medication. But I remember the first day that I got up after 15 days of being in bed, you know, it's like with traction in my leg. And my wife, you know, I was asking her, you know, it's like, what can I say? You know, it's like, and she still remember, still in her head, you know, like when she said, the day you got up, even though, you know, the pain was dropping down your leg, you know, so you say, I'm not going to give up. You know, it's like, I'm not going to not praise God because I know that God, you know, like put me broke me up, you know, with a purpose.
Amen. So August 23rd, he had a motorcycle accident. It was Sunday night. It was right after the earthquake, and he had gone to work or whatever, and then
we were in
Smithsonian.
In the mission conference that week.
Yeah, we had the missions conference going on, and he because that closed down, he came here for the evening service. And then after the evening service, you just gotten your license or something?
Yeah, I have my learning permit.
Learner's permit. Day, okay,
and so. I don't know why, you know, I put that helmet on, you know, it's like I drove around. I think I jumped a curb. I tried to push the brake, and I put the throttle instead as well. So that's the beginning mistake. I launched myself, you know, against the edge of one of the pillars right there.
Which is still marked to this day. So.
Yep, and sometimes, you know, it's like I just go around, you know, it's like, and I stop for a second. I see a few marks that are still there, you know, metal. And I stop and I thank God, you know, it's like, because I'm here today.
Yep, he could have very easily died. Fortunately, a nurse in our church was right there to open up his air path, or he could have died. He probably would have died. So thank God for that. So that's been a challenge, obviously, more than a challenge. That's probably not even the right word for it. But the point is, I mean, how has God helped you to choose joy?
We have a lot of people, you know, like next to us, you know, one of them, you know, like was Sunday school. And one of the verses that always come to my mind is I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But I always have issue with that verse because the verse doesn't stop there. The verse continued, and the Apostle Paul, you know, talked about, you know, it's like all the people that were around him in those situations, and then he said, but good, you guys need, you know, to be with me during these hard times. And that's what happened with us, you know, it's like we have a lot of people, you know, it's like not only our Sunday school, but, you know, as a church, you know, it's like many of you guys came together, you know, it's like pray for us. And that's one of the questions that you asked me, you know, it's like, what can I do for you? And I say, just pray.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor, you know, I remember, you know, you saying, you know, it's like, no, I have something better than that. But, you know, prayers, you know, it's like, I think was the best thing.
Amen.
Because without prayer, you know, it's like, it's something special, you know, to see people, you know, like praying for us, you know, like, and that is what, you know, help us through that situation.
So it's really, really important, folks. That's why one of our five habits of a growing Christian is to connect. And their small group showed up in a big way, okay, as well as other people in our church. Because in a small group, they know your name and they know your needs. And that's why you need to get connected with other people. That's why we keep beating that drum. Get in a small group. Because, you know, we weren't designed to do life alone. During the good times and the bad times, we need to minister to each other and be ministered to. So thank God for Darren and Liz and their small group stepping up. What else helped you?
As well, you know, it's like my parents. I came, you know, from a really humble family.
Where are you from? Alabama?
I'm from Alabama. I'm from Chile.
Chile.
I was born.
Not Chile. Chile. Okay.
Chile. And I came, as I say, you know, from a really humble family. Many times, you know, we didn't have enough money to just go to the doctor and see what was wrong with us. So the only source that we had, you know, was like to kneel down, you know, it's like my parents, you know, many times kneel down, you know, beside our bed, and they pray for us. And they came, you know, to the real source, you know, it's like because overall, you know, technology, doctors, you know, it's like are excellent, you know, and they're good, you know, it's like we need them. But it's got decision, you know, it's like if I get better or I get worse, you know, it's like ultimate decision, it's got decision, you know, it's like. And God's decision for me was to leave that day.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents, you know, like play a big influence in me.
Amen.
As well, you know, it's like as I was going through a situation, you know, it's like I have ups and downs. And I was sitting in the couch, you know, it's like in one of the chairs at home. And was one of those down times, you know, it's like where I'm like just crying, you know, it's like. And then I see my 11-year-old, you know, it's like coming to me, you know, sitting on my lap and saying, Dad, don't cry, you know. So you are just a little bit broken. You keep saying that God is going to help you, that God is going to do something with you and all that. So, and that, you know, it's like what we say and what we, how we act is going to make an impact, you know, in the life. Maybe not just our children, but the life of everyone, you know,
Amen.
That live around us. One of the things that I always people ask me in the office, you know, how are you doing? And, you know, it's like I say, very good. And a couple of times, you know, it's like they just turn around and say, you know, it's like, very good? I said, yeah, very good. And that, you know, it's like, give us a chance, you know, it's like, just to count our blessing, you know. It's like, I think that's what I was counting more my blessings than the pain that I was going through. You know, it's like, I was alive, you know. I still, my family was there, you know. I have a support, you know, in church, you know, and prayer. Not only, you know, in prayer, but, you know, it's like many of you guys step financially, you know, it's like to help us as well. And all of that, you know, it's like the things together, you know, it's like what helped me.
So that's a big point about, you know, people are looking at you and your kids are looking at you. And his parents modeled this for him and he's trying to model this for his kids. And that's a powerful statement. How do you kids see you dealing with your circumstances? You know, are you complaining? You know, are you trusting God? So the final thing is just what were maybe some scriptures that helped you along the way?
One of them, you know, was a...
You mentioned Philippians 4:13. Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
And then I remember John, you know, so when Jesus, you know, it's like he's surrounded by people and they see this blind man. And they're asking to Jesus, you know, it's like, who sinned? Was their parents? Was him? And what Jesus did, you know, he said, he's like, no one. You know, it's like, what so his word, you know, could show, his glory, you know, could show through him. And I think that's what happened with me. You know, it's like God broke me up so his glory could be shown, you know, it's like through me. Amen. Because the only thing that I did was getting messed up.
Yep. Amen.
But we see how this man, you know, it's like Jesus, you know, it's like a spit on the ground, you know, make some mud, and then he put it on his eye. And then he gave him instructions. And he said, go and wash to a place, you know, it's like. And the man could have said, you know, it's like, man. This man, you know, it's like he spit on the ground. You know, he put mud in my eyes and do nothing. But he didn't do that. You know, he did go and wash himself, you know, and then, you know, he could see. And then a lot of people were asking him, you know, it's like, who healed you and all of that, you know. And they, at the end, you know, he said, who cares? You know, it's like, I could see now. And that is what sometimes, you know, it's like we could say, you know, it's like I was broken. I got messed up. But is that important? It's not really important, you know. It's like the important thing is like God built me up again.
Amen. And praise God.
I also remember Joseph and all the tribulation that he go through when his brother, you know, saw him, when he was putting, you know, like in the cistern, and then at the end, you know, when he's revealing himself to them, and he said, God did have a purpose, and he was like joyful, you know, like then he sent, you know, for his family, and he was the what God used, you know, to rescue the Israel nation. And is that, you know, it's like we're still a work in progress, you know, it's like we're not perfect, you know, it's like we could many times in the hospital I was in pain, and sometimes we needed to advocate to change a few things, but overall, you know, it's like we're a work in progress.
Amen.
And it's a decision. It's just
choice. Choose choice.
I decide, you know, like to praise God and know that He have a purpose. You know, even and this is something that blessing come in all type of bottles. Bottles, you know, like that are also, you know, called pain and difficulties and all that. But nevertheless, they are still blessings. You know, it's like God is still wants to do something with our lives.
Amen.
We could just take the good bottles and the good blessings, you know, but also, you know, He wants to take the blessing that say pain.
Amen. All right, praise God. Amen. Let's give him a hand. That's awesome. Amen. So we have to accept God's plan for our lives. Number four, obey the Word of God. I mean, we don't really need any other point except this point, right? I mean, God commanded it. It is a command. The command with our memory verse this week is what? Do all things without what? And disputing. Do all things, the Bible says. Listen to that. Do all things. So what is your all things that you're struggling with the most today? Obey the Word of God. Then the back page of our notes, number five, present a positive testimony. Present a positive testimony. We do have to realize that other people are looking at us. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it tells us that we have to operate as children of God. We have to operate in the midst of a, listen, what kind of culture we have to operate in? A crooked culture. crooked. That word crooked is a really interesting word. It's the idea of scoliosis. You ever heard of scoliosis? Curvature of the spine. My wife deals with that in her life. And we got a scoliosis we're dealing with, a curvature of the spine. Okay, it's really a curvature of the culture is what we're dealing with in this world. We live in a crooked world. And yet the Bible says we need to be blameless. Okay, that's the challenge there, to be blameless. That means to not be criticized because of sin or evil, not to be criticized because of sin or evil. And we're to be on the offense. We're not even to be neutral. We're not to be negative, and we're not to be neutral. We're actually to be on the offense in that we're to be holding forth the word of life. And that word's like a baton race, holding the baton out for someone to grab and run with it. Think about that. Think about that. Are we living a life worth passing on? Are we living a life that's worth passing on? We're to present a positive testimony for the Lord. The Bible says we're to walk as children of light. The Bible says that we're to be light, that we're not to hide our light, but we're to let it shine so that people can, I like this, verse 16 of Matthew 5 there, see, circle that word, see in verse 16 of Matthew 5, see your good works. People need to see it. People need to see your life. And I'm telling you, I mean, one of the greatest impacts you can make for God is not coming to church. This is great. You're here. Wonderful. And keep coming because you are making a difference by being here. But what greater difference could you make if tomorrow and this week you don't contribute to all the office complaining or your work complaining, you know, complaining about the boss, complaining about the workload, complaining about this? I mean, don't you think that would be kind of different? Don't you think that would be kind of a significant way to make a difference in this world? I mean, honestly, truly, what a difference we could make if we would just choose joy and we don't have to be all pompous about it and whatever, but just have that testimony, that strong testimony for the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read by all men. And that old statement's been around for probably generations. It's still true today. You may be the only Bible people read. You may be the only Bible people read. People might not ever pick this up. The people in your life might ever, ever, ever look at the Bible. But listen, you are our epistle written in our hearts. And listen, you're known and you're read by all men. You know, again, just drilling down strong on that parenting thing. I'm telling you, you want to raise rebellious kids, you come to church and get in that car and leave, and you start complaining about the pastor. I'm telling you, you're going to send your kids to hell, okay? You criticize this person, you criticize that person, your kids look at you and say, what a stinking hypocrite you are, okay? Honestly, we need to recognize the impact we have on our children with our complaining, okay? With our complaining, Christian talked about his parents. Imagine these parents. They're in a poor country. They can't afford to go to a doctor. They can't afford to go buy medicine. Can you imagine this precious family in Chile getting on their knees praying for their little boy to be healed? And he's a grown man, and he's telling us about it here on this stage today. Wow. Wow. What an impact we can have. Present a positive testimony. Number six, sacrifice and serve joyfully. Sacrifice and serve joyfully. Paul says in verse 17, yes, 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 he says. And if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad. I am glad and I rejoice with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. He says, I'm sacrificing, I'm serving. And I love that image. I'm pouring out myself. Isn't that good? I'm pouring out myself on your faith. And then he mentions two incredible people. He mentions Timothy, who poured out himself. Timothy had that greatest ability, availability. Paul just says, hey, I can't get there, but Timothy's coming. And I like it. It's just because I get to pastor people like this. People I know, if there's any human way, they're going to get the job done. Okay, I have lots of Timothys in my own life as a pastor. And what an encouragement they are to a spiritual leader. Paul says, I can't go, but I know I can count on Timothy. He'll get the job done. Okay, he's coming because he doesn't, listen, he doesn't care for just his own needs. He cares for your needs. And he's a man of proven character, it says. Wow. And then there's Epaphroditus who suffered so much. He talks about Epaphroditus and how Epaphroditus, verse number 30, it says, listen, it says, because of the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life. Man, he just had an abandonment to Jesus, giving his life totally to Jesus, even to the point where he could die. He almost died because of Jesus. Man, I tell you, the sweet spot of life is to sacrifice and to serve joyfully. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. The joy negativity killer declaration. Are you ready? Pastor Gary and I are ready. Are you ready? Okay. Every week we've got a negativity declaration because we are going to kill negativity with joy. Right? And our statement for today and this week, okay, is I choose joy today in obedience. I'm just going to obey God's word. God's word tells me not to complain. So guess what? I'm going to choose joy today in obedience. If you're willing to make that declaration, say it out loud and clear with me. Here we go. I choose joy today in obedience. Lord, that statement is easier to say than do. And Lord, we're going to need your help to do it, Lord. God, we want to do it. We got the want to in us today, Lord. And God, help us, Lord. Help us, God. Remind us of this message. In Jesus' name, amen.